Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia.
I've been doing martial arts probably about 15 years, and I started with Thai boxing. I did a lot of different, tried a lot of different styles like the like karate, things like that. And Thai boxing was really one of those first styles that I got into, and I did that for probably about 10 years. And then, you know, you see mixed martial arts and UFC, things like that. So I got a bit more into mixed martial arts, and after a while, I realized it was more sports-based, and so I started looking for something that incorporated weapons, or there's a bit more traditional in nature, not so much sports-based or modern. So then I actually found a silat, so I started doing some research, looked at lots of different styles, and then actually made the decision to go to Indonesia and learn silat over there. And also my wife's Indonesian too, so you know, we actually had the chance to go over to Indonesia and spend quite a bit of time there. So I found a teacher in Indonesia, and actually Yogyakarta, so in Java. So I managed to find a teacher, and he was a very good teacher. He actually teaches some of the army and police and special forces and, yeah, security guards, even air hostesses. So he's a very experienced guy. I managed to track someone down, and he said he would teach me, and then I started learning Silat with him, and it was different in some ways from the styles that I've learned, and obviously learning weapons, things like that. So, and I was quite interested in the diversity of the style. Like, say, it could be used for self-defense purposes, if someone comes at you with weapons, disarming, things like that, which other styles that I've done just didn't have. And also attacking with weapons, it's obviously got a very rich history in Indonesia, so actually embracing the kind of history and kind of learning about that and all the different type of weapons they used, could be everyday weapons they use as tools, which obviously the history of Indonesia with the Dutch East Indies, it's obviously quite relevant, so they use tools, and that could also become weapons, or obviously tools that are actually made for weapons and made for warfare. So I found that part quite interesting, learning about the history and what happened about in history with that. So yeah, and then also the art form as well. I found it quite interesting about how the art form, the techniques were hidden in the art form, which is very dance-like, very flowing. So I found that quite interesting, especially, you know, when the Dutch East Indies, basically the Indonesians hid the style in a dance, which I found really interesting, and that flowing movement. A lot of people like to do it as well because of the flowing movement and the dance-like movement. So that's quite interesting, and that blends in quite well to the movement for weapons and self-defense and the art form as well. So, and also the spiritual aspect too. So learning about the spiritual aspect, and obviously Indonesian people are very spiritual, so just coming from a Western culture and just learning about the spiritual side was quite interesting too. So it was a really great experience. I got the chance to spend time over there and learn it, and found a really great teacher who was really good. And then when I came back to Australia, I expected to find it everywhere, and I couldn't really find it anywhere. And so basically, you know, I tried to search for places to train, and I managed to find one or two, but they were quite different from the style that I'd learned. So Indonesian people will know there's many different styles of silat. So, you know, over 800 known styles in Indonesia. So there could be, you know, styles out there that people don't even know about. Say people walking on their hands and feet in the jungle that nobody's ever seen. So the styles vary significantly. So when I came back over to Australia, I found it difficult to find a style that I could continue doing. So I basically started going on my own, and I actually have some students at the moment, and I teach them as well. So I basically teach a few people, and we all train together at the moment. So just to keep that learning happening, and a few people are actually contacting me about training. And so, and it's interesting because it ranges from people who have never tried martial arts before, who want to learn a martial art and find silat interesting. And it could be people who have watched the movie The Raid or John Wick 3, stuff like that. I get a lot of people who contact me who have seen it in a movie, which it seems to be gaining popularity ICOA-wise with all the different movies he's bringing out and obviously the films. So that's actually gaining popularity in Australia with Penchak Silat, I think. And also people coming around who have basically done full circle like me, who have done maybe Thai boxing and MMA and realize, what about weapons? What about if someone has a gun and are coming to me and saying, Silat, oh, this seems to be a natural progression for me from my journey, which is basically the same as me. They've gone full circle and found Silat after their journey through different martial arts. And even people who are stunt actors, who actually like the movement and who actually want to use weapons and fight scenes, things like that. I actually trained the person who did the stuntman for Aquaman as well, so he learned some weapon stuff with me. So we're really diverse people who are really looking to learn it, people who are just interested in the art form, the dance movement, things like that. So that was really kind of have brought me to where I am now. So,
do you still remember when did you first hear even about this Pencak Silat?
The first time I heard about it is I'd done a few different martial arts, and basically I started researching. So I actually actively started going, you know, the styles that I've learned before doesn't have weapons, so I want to explore that. And what other styles are out there? So I watched a series called Fight Quest, and they go to different countries and try different styles. And so basically I watched that and thought, you know, where's my kind of journey heading with martial arts? And I watched all the different styles and all the different countries they'd gone to. And they actually went to Indonesia in Bandung and actually tried Pencak Silat. And, you know, the show is really about two guys going there and trying different martial arts. And that was the first time I'd seen or heard of Pencak Silat, and that really gauged my interest. Out of all the styles I saw, out of all the other places they went to, Pencak Silat for some reason really resonated with me, and I really wanted to try that. And the fact my wife's Indonesian meant that she actually sponsored me and we could actually go there and live in Indonesia, so I had more of an opportunity than most to actually go to Indonesia and spend quite a bit of time and learn it there. So, and it's quite surprising too, because Australia, as you know, a lot of people go to Bali and Indonesia, and they usually don't make it out of Kuta, so it's strange that so many Australians go to Indonesia, but they've never actually heard or even tried Pencak Silat.
How long had you been living in Indonesia to learn about the silat then?
I probably was there about 6 months to learn silat in Jogja. So basically, I spent 6 months out there. My wife sponsored me, and so I could get a 6 month visa. And so we basically sought the visa out. Spent 6 months there. I trained a few times a week, probably three or four times a week. Had private lessons, sometimes joining group lessons, but mostly private. And then after that, I came back to Australia. I kept learning. My trainer would send me videos and keep helping me. And a few times a year, I go back to Indonesia and learn it again. So every year, I probably go once or twice and learn it. And my trainer has been over to Australia a couple of times now. So he comes to Australia as well and teaches me. So a lot of it is me going there now, or him coming here, or us using videos and him, you know, giving me tutorials via videos. So, and there's a lot out there as well you can try and find with YouTube and that. So not quite as much as other styles, but I mean,
right,
if you look at Pencak Silat, there's a lot of different styles and a lot of different things out there you can find.
Do you think having a wife who is Indonesian like affected you in some way to learn silat?
We've been together before I found silat, and then when I found silat, it was almost something I saw and I would have chosen on my own, but then it was almost fitting, and it was almost like it was meant to be, the fact that my wife was already Indonesian. And I thought, well, I'm actually going to get the opportunity to go out to Indonesia and live there and actually spend quite a lot of time there. And, you know, we have plans in the future to actually go and live there. So, you know, I've probably been luckier more than a lot of people that I've actually had the chance to go out there and spend a lot longer there and actually learn it. So it was actually a coincidence that I wanted to learn silat. Some people say, did you do silat because your wife was Indonesian? No, not really. It just kind of happened that way. And it just meant that because she was Indonesian, that we had more of a chance to actually learn it. And she started actually learning and training with me too. So, you know, I actually teach her silat as well. And then the fact I don't speak too much Indonesian. She teaches me, but I'm not too good at Indonesian. So when we spend time over there, she can actually translate for me and help me as well, and you know, teach me about the culture and the history as well. So that's actually helped my learning as well.
You mentioned about looking for a teacher or someone who can teach you doing silat, but how did you finally find Aris?
I just started doing some research on the internet, looking at kind of who trains people silat. So, and I came across Aris and someone else who were in Jogja. And Jogja seemed like a really good region for silat. So it really just came from research. And my wife is looking to study English and programs for office administration, things like that. And Jogja is a hub for education too. So, you know, I went there to learn silat, and she went there to go to a college as well. So it really just came from research. And, you know, Aris had a blog and was talking about silat. And I saw someone else had written basically testimonial about their time training with him, and I contacted him and he told me about Aris, and it sounded really good. And I also found another style as well, but I weighed up both options, and Aris seemed like he a really good experience that he seemed to really know what he was talking about. And, you know, I've been to Thailand, I've done the training camps before, things like that for Thai boxing, and it's, you can get training similar in Australia to that, but going out to Indonesia and finding a teacher like Aris, it really was an all-round experience.
For Australian, you reckon, like, would they be interested in Silat?
I think they would be interested. They just don't know what it is. So, I mean, it's such a diverse style that, you know, some people want to learn everything. You know, some people go, I like the movement, I like the form, I want to learn that because I do dance, you know, or I want to learn weapons because, you know, I do karate and they don't have weapons, so I want to add weapons into what I know. So there's a lot of different types of people that are coming to me and saying, I want to learn this particular aspect that's going to help me in this way. Or people who are just saying, you know, I want to learn everything about the style. Can you teach me whatever you know? So I think it's because it's relatively unknown, you know, it's not as popular. But once it gains popularity and people know what it is and people know the benefits, then I'm sure it'll gain in popularity. And movies is a big thing. You know, a lot of people come to me and say this in the movie The Raid, and they really want to do it. They can see, you know, what the professionals look like doing it, and it looks really good. So it'll take a bit of time, but at the moment it's relatively unknown. But hopefully in time, once the word gets out, then it'll become more popular.
If someone asks you, like, how long will I need to learn Pencak Silat?
Yeah, I do get that question. People say, you know, how long will it take me to get good? You know, it really depends. Like, Silat is really, it's really built for anyone in the sense that, you know, you don't have to use strength in Silat. You know, there's a lot of locking and joint manipulation that, you know, you can grab a wrist and, you know, bend the wrist and lock joints and then use footwork and movement to spin them around and knock them off balance. So in Aikido, in that way that they use their balance and momentum and to actually knock people off balance. So it's not using strength. So some people who are not too strong, you know, who are, you know, not too athletic, can use Silat. It's not right. Something that you have to be strong and athletic, like Thai boxing or wrestling. You have to actually have the physique and be strong. And when you get a bit older, it doesn't work so well anymore because you haven't got that stamina and strength like you used to. So Silat can last a lot longer. And, you know, say if they say, how long will it take me to get good? I mean, you'd probably need a year or two, like a couple of years to. So it might take 6 months to learn the basics, but putting that into a practice to a level that it'll actually work on the street might take a couple more years. But then obviously if they want to get to a higher level, you know, that you could be talking 5 to 10 years for a high level person. So and then anything beyond that, you're going towards master level. But yeah, like, you wouldn't see many people who have done Pencak Silat for less than 10 years in the world championship.
Right.
Yeah.
When you say that, you don't have to be really, really strong, but then what are the prerequisites to learn Pencak Silat?
Yeah, I'd say you have to be flexible. So flexibility is a big thing. So it doesn't matter if you're not flexible now. You can obviously work on flexibility, but that's going to take time. So flexibility is really important. So you have to be able to move your body, you know, from head to toe. So flexibility is one important factor. Balance too. So, you know, really practicing balance. So a lot of styles, you know, they can get away with just throwing their weight into a strike, whereas Silat, you have to be perfectly balanced, you know. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of takedowns as well. So you've got to actually keep your balance. Like, say, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, wrestling, MMA, you're quite happy to grab someone and take someone to the ground. But with Silat, your aim is to not fall onto the ground. You want to take them down and stay stood up, which is where it really differs from, say, MMA or something. And right. The reason for that is, say, you know, obviously it's built from warfare, Silat. It was used in the war in Indonesia. So if you're fighting 10 people who have weapons, you don't want to fall to the ground and mess around with one person on the ground because there could be a lot more people there you have to deal with. You have to end it quick, you know. You deal with one person for as little time as possible and then move on. So the style is different in that way. So you need balance, flexibility. Strength is something you can work on, but it's not required unless you start getting to the sports aspect. But if it's more for self-defense purposes, then strength is not as required as in self-defense. So, and really just having flowing movement, it's a really flowing style. You have to have flowing movement, especially when it comes to weapons. So basically when you're moving with weapons, you right. can't be too rigid or stiff. You have to be very flowing, and the art form and the very dance-like movements really, really works well with that. So if you're inflexible and you have bad balance, you're going to be really robotic and really stiff. So that flowing movement and that wrist kind of movement, it works really well with weapons and self-defense. And with momentum, you know, a lot of styles, they'll tense up and they'll be stiff, you know? But you can't feel someone's momentum. You can't feel their balance or their change in balance if you're stiff and,
right.
and you tense up. You've got to be flowing. And the main difference between something like, say, Krav Maga, for instance, Krav Maga teaches aggression. It teaches you to be angry, but you don't. It wants to tap into anger, but Salat's not. It teaches you to be calm. It teaches you to try and, you know, bury those fears, those kind of emotions that are going to make you do erratic things. So you have to completely empty your mind and be calm. So that's really where the spiritual aspect comes in. So having an open mind and just being able to calm yourself and not let your anger take over as well. I guess just a calm mind and a strong mind is good as well.
Sukai, berbagi, komentar. Ikuti SBS program Bahasa Indonesia di Facebook.